Life, Pastor Barry here. Great to be with you. Excited that we get to speak the Word of God here for the next few minutes and really see what the Father's saying and sense what He's doing in our lives and our hearts. And there just seems to be so much movement in the land, not just obviously Cross Point, but across the United States, across the globe. There's just a lot happening. I was reminded just this past week, I was going through some journals, and I don't know about you, but I am not a consistent journaler at all. I mean, I've got many journals, and I'll pull them out, and I go, you know, it starts like January, and I'll pick it back up in March, and, you know, just sporadic. But I found one from 1 year ago today. 1 year ago today, we transitioned from consistently meeting in-house to not meeting at all because of the COVID pandemic. It blows my mind that it's been 1 year. But you know, in the midst of that, God has been with us. God has been faithful. God has been good. How many know God's good all the time? He doesn't change. He's always good. And we give Him praise for that. Now listen, let's jump into some thoughts this morning. I'm pivoting a bit because I was supposed to do part two of a series, but I felt like I told Pastor Craig this morning, I'm gonna pivot. I'm going to change this morning's message because I feel that leading up to what God is saying and speaking in this hour, this message was much more relevant to what was going on inside my heart, inside of what I believe God is doing in general. So let me jump in and just say this. Number one is that I believe that this message this morning is probably one of my life messages. For the past 20 years, even beyond that, but especially the last 20 years, this particular story out of the Old Testament has been probably my favorite story as well as favorite analogy of what God does in the hearts and lives of people. And it's the story of the children of Israel moving from bondage and slavery into finally possessing the land that had been promised to them. And I've used this topic or this phrase before, but moving away from the shore and stepping into God's plan and destiny for your life. It's moving from the east side to the west side. It's moving from a place of complacency or a place that hadn't been promised to you into the promises of God, which are what? Yes and amen. The promises of God never change. His prophetic words never change. He gives you a word, it's your word to fight for, to war for, to contend for. So I want to touch on today some ways that we can not only cross over into the promised land, if you will, but how we're to stay crossed over into the promises of God and not go backwards. See, too often we cross over into things that God's promised only to find ourselves back on the east side. That was never His intention. You see, when we cross over into something, it's to take territory. It's to possess something. There's no other way to explain the act of millions of people crossing a torrent river into a place that had been promised to them so many decades prior. Matter of fact, they weren't even the ones that were promised to inherit the land. It was their parents and others that were promised that land, but because of rebellion, because of lack of focus, because of lack of whatever, they never entered into the place of promise. We can't be that people. We must be the people that once we possess what God's asked us to possess, we must not only hang on to it, but we must expand the territory and not go back and relent to what it once looked like. See, once on the other side, you arrive on foreign soil, new territory, land that's unfamiliar in many respects, very uncomfortable. How many know it's because it's new, it's because it's fresh, it's because the assignment is now in full force, and because it's new and because it's in full force, it's going to seem a little bit different. We've all been there, we've all gone new places. We've all entered into new churches. We've all entered into new assignments and new jobs and new houses and new things, right? And when you go into a new place, like you move into a new town, you know, for me, I look for a new Starbucks or I look for a new coffee shop. We have to find new doctor's offices. We have to find maybe a new congregation. And we have to find these different things to attend to because we've moved into the place of promise. See, the point is that with the new territory, everything changes. We do not like change. I think we can say amen to that. I don't like change. Change is a necessity of our life, but it's very difficult for most of us. Yet it's the standard of the day. New beginnings mean new ways of doing life outside the camp of our security and normalcy. The question is, what is it that we struggle with to let go of that should remain on the east side that we can't take with us into our new territory, our new assignments, or that new place? I want to look at some thresholds that we got to cross and remain across and stay across. Because if we don't, we will end up regressing and going back to a way of thinking, doing, acting, worshiping, believing that was never intended for his body. First of all, you need to understand there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Before there can be any real sustained advancement in our life, there must be a realization that sacrifice of sort will be required. A better question is, what price are we willing to pay to grow and stay in the flow of the supernatural activity and lifestyle of the Father? There's no reward without risk. What do we need to give up to grow up? How is it that Israel was able to leave Egypt and leave with wealthy, they're very wealthy, without after being physically and verbal slaves for so very long? A sacrifice of unparalleled proportions. For in the sacrifice of the perfect lamb, blood was spilled and applied. Blood on the doorpost protected them from the wrath of God. They were spared, and not only spared, but blessed in the process. And John 12:24 speaks that there has to be some type of sacrifice to pay the price for us to cross over and to take territory that was promised to us, and not just to take it, but to expand it, to take dominion, to do what God promised us. What is it that needs to be sacrificed or killed in our lives at the foot of Jesus, at the foot of the cross, so that we can not only cross over, but we can be prepared, and not prepared, but we can be positioned to receive all the promises of God. The second thing, it's clear thinking. This threshold is one that sometimes keeps us from advancing because things get muddy. Things get very unclear. Joshua 3:4, it speaks of easing, it's easy to lose your way when pursuing new advances in the kingdom. We get so focused and locked in to the way that we do things, and we sometimes lose sight of what God's trying to do in our lives. Uncertain if what you're pursuing is truly of God. Thinking new thoughts and walking in unheard of ways. Is that you? But like Joshua, there is to be a determination, an ability to press on and through in order to enter God's designed destiny for all of us. Confusion will quickly can well up like the thick San Joaquin Central Valley fog that used to just... It just come down in the wintertime and just sit there like a soup, and you couldn't see hardly in front of you. Be patient. Take it slow while driving in that fog, and eventually it clears up, and you not only get through it, but there is advancement towards your destiny. If it is so muddy and so unclear, ask for help. God wants to bring clarity in the hour. God wants to bring clarity in the midst of the muddied waters that seem to be all around us right now in America. We seem to have lost a bit of sight that God wants us to take dominion. He wants us to take charge. He wants us to take territory. He wants us to take cities. He wants us to take states. He wants us to take neighborhoods. But that can't come unless we understand that there is no way to advance if we're sitting on the east shore waiting for some easy thing to ferry us across to the promised land. And then once we get there, everything's going to be perfect. That's not what happened when they crossed over. When they crossed over, the realization that the promises that God had given to them was going to require much. It was going to require a constant crossing over, not a one-time thing, but constantly. They had to destroy the walls of Jericho. They had to defeat other enemies, and tall ones and short ones and everything in between. But they had to have certainty and clarity that what Joshua was saying to them, and what Joshua, how he was leading them, he was leading them towards the things that God had promised. And the third thing is there has to be a hunger to want to cross over. There has to be a hunger to not only cross over, but to stay in that place where God continues to fuel the fire inside of you. Matthew 5:6 speaks to that topic of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Filled. Are you being filled right now? Take a moment and ponder your journey the last year, last 6 months, few months, weeks. How are we doing? Have you taken new territory? Have you gone backwards? Has your attitude begun to line up with the secular mindset of the world? Have you begun to buy into what is not truth? Have you begun to hunger for things that are outside of the kingdom? Have you begun to live a life that maybe doesn't actually reflect what the Father's promised you for years? Because we've let the pandemic, we've let the circumstance, we've let the unfortunate racial divide, the political divide, the fear divide us rather than unite us. We must hunger for the things of the kingdom. And one of my favorite phrases is there must be a vertical rhythm. There's got to be this rhythm of the heartbeat of the Father that beats inside of you. So whatever happens outside of you, if you will, the horizontal reflects his kingdom because of your hunger. Stay in a position of intimacy. The fourth thing I would say about crossing over and staying on the side that God's called you to and not regressing and going back is that you've got to make sure you align yourself with the right company of people. You've heard the phrase, bad company corrupts. Think about the people that you line yourself up with. Think about the people that you hang out with. Think about the people that you embrace. I wish I had learned this life lesson much younger in life. Your associations will make or break you when it comes to crossing into your destiny and remaining in that place. Look, when you are considering and praying about going higher with God, it will require friendships. It will require relationships. It will require church family to walk side by side with you to make sure that when you get tired, your arms are lifted up. There are people that are there to sustain you when you don't feel like moving forward, because they are not bad people, because they will not corrupt what's inside of you. Their job, their responsibility, their relationship with you is one thing, to make sure you fulfill your destiny in life. Are you that kind of a friend? And do you have those kind of people in your life? I'm going to tell you something. 3 weeks ago, tomorrow, I had a heart attack. Most of you know that. And I got to tell you something. We are so grateful for how many of you reached out and said, what can we do for you? How can we serve you? What can we do to help you? It's because of people like you that allows us to keep going after the things of God and keep our trajectory on the person of Jesus and not look at, woe is me, why did it happen? Why do I have a heart attack at 58 years old? Why? Rather than, God, you have a plan, and I want nothing more than to see that plan fulfilled, because I will not allow anything or anyone to keep us from that destiny or that purpose. Bad company corrupts. But God and his kingdom friends and relationships will help you sustain when you cross over and remain in the place that he's called you to. Remember, this crossing over is about territory. And once you take territory, it's like when you buy a house, you don't want to sell your house and not be able to reinvest the money that you have put into that house. When we invest in kingdom and we take territory, we don't want that territory to go from this to this. We want it to continue to what? Expand. The government of God does what? It's always advancing. We're not to retreat and we're not to go backwards. This next thing I want you to hear is the premise that when we cross into the places that God's promised, And we're to stay in the promised land, if you will, is that we've got to learn to live in the truth zone because it produces freedom. We all define the reality in which we live based on how much we're willing to carry. When we carry, what we carry is coupled with a soul full of world, it doesn't leave much room for his glory. You can't have both. How willing are we to face the fears and concerns about moving into the new places that God's promised us? New territory, expansion of the territory that God has given to us. If you don't deal with your fears and confront them head on, you'll stand on the shore of sorrow rather than crossing over into the destiny that God has planned for your life. Don't forget there were two tribes that chose to not cross over. Now, though there's scripture that supports that they did fine by staying on that side. But I don't know if that was actually what God destined. He destined all 12 tribes to cross over. He wanted all the people of God to fulfill what had been promised to them. And there's not a person watching this morning that God doesn't want to move you into his design plans and purposes. And not to only move into those things, but to expand that territory and keep moving forward. The next thing I want to quickly say is that you've got to pay attention to your character during this hour. Because a lack of character and integrity will actually cause you to regress and go back to a place you once were, if not worse than before. Walking in integrity and developing character greatly assists you in advancement in the kingdom. See, it boils down to the motives of our heart. Why are we doing what we do? What is it that propels us to move towards godliness? What is it that causes us to pursue his nature and his character? We're asking God to give us more of his heart, more of his territory today. COVID hasn't stopped the church. Many people believe that. COVID hasn't kept the kingdom of God from advancing. I'm convinced that in a lot of sectors, it's done two things. It's exposed the charlatans, the fakes, those that really weren't living for the purposes of God, and he's exposing them. But there's also been an exposure of the heart of God to those that are the hungry and the thirsty and the righteous and those that desire to do great exploits for him. But it's come because the character is being revealed. God wants you to pay attention to what your words are. There's no one perfect. There's no one that lives this life in the most Jesus way. We all make mistakes. We all say things that aren't in alignment with the Father's heart. We all do things that don't reflect his purpose for our life. But aren't you grateful for his grace and his mercy? Say, Father, forgive me. I didn't handle that the best. Thank you for this morning, God. It's a new day to begin. And I pray you would use me to further advance your kingdom. What areas of your life have you allowed the world's ways to actually influence what you're doing and how you're doing it? What tree am I living out of, the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Maybe the day has come to take serious moral inventory as Christ followers and say, not only a little of me, but all of me, God, as we were singing today. Possess me. Last thing I want to share is who leads you will actually determine your destiny. Where will you go? Will you go? Where no one else will go? Here's the risky part of this statement. Who leads you will determine your destiny. You see, we always reflect the world we're most aware of. Let's say that again. We always reflect the world we're most aware of. Hungering for more of Holy Spirit will guide you into wonderful encounters of supernatural proportions. Always. May not always feel good, but it will always lead you into those supernatural encounters. You will become more and more aware of heaven's influence and rule in your life because of your hungering for his presence. Holy Spirit's presence. Hosting Holy Spirit or learning to host the presence of Holy Spirit will assist you in being led by the one and only Holy Spirit. And when you learn to be led by Holy Spirit, you will see, hear, and do what you see the Father doing. And see, what the Father does and what he's doing sometimes is a little uncomfortable. We don't always know why he's moving, how he's moving, where he's moving, but we know he's moving. And let me say a few more things, and I'd like for my wife and my kids, if they would, to kind of join me up here this morning as we take a moment to share this last part of the message. But we must not lose our focus on the assignment of God that he's given to us. And that is to pray that his kingdom would have dominion and rule over our lives, over our families. Come on, guys. Over this church. See, Jesus is the gate to the heavenlies, and it's the Holy Spirit that is to possess us so that we can cross over into the places that God has called us and equipped us for. I'm going to say this story and then conclude. When we look at John the Baptist, his death, and Christ's response to him being beheaded, it's mentioned that John moved from hearing the news of Jesus being beheaded into a place of aloneness. Remember that there had been 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and New Testament. Nothing until this rugged, honey-sucking, grasshopper-eating man of God arrived preaching outside the camp. And he said this, no more standing on the shore, Jesus has now arrived with John the Baptist preaching it. He preached a baptism not of water, but of fire. There's one coming that's much greater than I, one that will bring you into a realm that you have never known before. And I believe that's true of you, of us, of Crosspoint, of the kingdom, that God is bringing us into a new place that we've never known before. And in Matthew 14, it says that Jesus heard of John the Baptist beheading and says that he went away by himself to be alone with his Father. Jesus' death, with all his issues, took all those things to the Father, and so should we. As we enter into a new season of territory taking, of lifestyle change, I believe God wants to invade us with a new realm of his presence and his glory and assurance that greater is he that's within us, and take courage and be courageous in knowing that we're about to cross over into some new territory. For without courage, heaven cannot enter into our circumstances. And if we preach or teach what doesn't require courage, it's not going to attract heaven or its resources. 20 years ago, I moved these kids of mine from Northern California to La Mesa, California, to pastor La Mesa First Assembly. And today, after 20 years, we have decided that it's time for Candy and I to transition from leading Crosspoint Life Church to a new assignment. We do not know what that assignment is or what it looks like, but we just know the time has come for us to say how grateful we have been to serve this amazing congregation. 2 decades is a very long time. We were talking on the way here that we've never been in one church this long. Even growing up, I don't believe I was in a church this long. And there is a great deal of emotion obviously going on inside of us. But I wanted today to have my family here with you and with us to let you know that together we came here and together we will say farewell. These kids have grown up at Crosspoint. They have amazing calls in their lives. And we're grateful that the Father has allowed us to raise them in this amazing place. We truly do love you. And we pray that the peace and the blessing and the grace of God on you. And here's why I believe the Father is saying. When we came to La Mesa First Assembly, we knew that we were crossing over into something that we had never seen or experienced before. And with every year, over two decades now, we have seen that continue to be the case. We've seen you fight and war and contend for his glory, for his presence. We've watched you worship like people I've never, you're just crazy worshipers. We've seen waves of glory. We've seen signs and wonders. We've seen so many things. But this is what I'm truly convinced of. This is the season where God is moving Crosspoint into a new place of promise. I'm convinced of it. And before I conclude, I'm going to ask Candy, do you have anything you would like to share at all before? Can you?
We've felt so much peace about this. We feel like God is in this. But sitting up here with our kids around us, I'm just grateful that, our kids have grown up for the most part in one place. They've had that kind of stability. You don't always have that in the ministry family, but all three of them have calls on their lives, and like I said before, offering. I felt like I was trying to control my own life and control where my kids were, and then I realized, what if it's me that's moving and not my kids? And that's difficult too. But we just trust in the Lord, and we know that he has a plan for us. He has a plan for Crosspoint, and he has a plan for my kids. And something that we've learned over the years is when you put your trust in the Lord, when you fully trust in him with your lives, he's going to take care of every little detail. He's going to take care of it all, and we don't have to worry. And we don't have to stress, and we don't have to control. We just need to take our hands off. That's probably one of the first lessons I learned when we got here, to be quite honest. Some things turned out a little bit different than we anticipated after we got here. And I remember praying and saying, God, you told us we were supposed to be here, so why are we going through this? And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, just wait. I'm still in control. And I realized every time I tried to control things, it didn't turn out right. But when I let God do it, it was pretty amazing. And so I know that God is going to show off and be amazing in this too, for you and for us. So I'm just really grateful that we are in unity in this. We both feel a peace about it. And just please continue to pray for us that we do what God's called us to. And that's it.
I think somebody might be asking, you know, is it because of the heart attack? It's really not because of the heart attack. I would say that it accelerated the decision a bit, but it's not the reason why. We know that the Father has been in this. I mentioned, there's two things I want to say, and then we're going to wrap up. I mentioned that I found my journal from a year ago, and I was reading that journal from 1 year ago on a Sunday right now, and I realized even a year ago the Father was stirring something inside of me. And I'm convinced that now is the time for us, as COVID begins to lift, Crosspoint begins to step into and back into gatherings, that the Father's about to do something phenomenal. Here, regionally, I really believe that. So thank you. Now let me just add this one last thing, and then we're going to dismiss and let you go have lunch. The executive elders and myself have been in planning for a while this transitional period. And I'm excited to tell you that with great unity, our executive elders and myself have been looking at what the transition may look like. And I'm here to tell you today that we're excited to announce that Craig and Renee Osborne's are going to be a part of this amazing transition into the new season of Crosspoint Life Church. They will be presented to you at some time in a very, very near future as your candidates for the next lead pastor of Crosspoint Life Church, which excites me to no end, you guys. because they are not only capable, but they're fully prepared to take this church where it needs to go. So there'll be some announcements that will be made in just a short time. There's still some details that need to be ironed out and worked on, but they will let you know as time goes on. Our last Sunday, I believe, will be Easter Sunday. So let's make Easter Sunday a great celebration of resurrection of Jesus. Celebrate the Sappingtons going to their next assignment, whatever that looks like, and know that Jesus is alive and he's well. He's on the throne. Amen? We bless you guys. We love you. Keep praying. Keep believing. Let's keep crossing into our destinies because God is good. God bless you. Take care.